Sit There in Your Heartache by Small Blue and Loud, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Holy shit, that's Spock! Shut up, hisses Ensign Boimler. Spock and Lieutenant Noonien Singh stare at their newest arrival in shock. Heaving a sigh, Captain Pike flips open his communicator. Pike to Enterprise. 5 to beam up. Over the line, Commander Chin Riley asks, I'm sorry, what? Like the actual for real Spock. Mariner, seriously, shut up. 5, repeats Captain Pike. It looks like we've got another time traveler. Wait, if that's Spock, where's... That's Captain Pike, Ensign Boimler interrupts very pointedly. His friend frowns, still watching Spock with a confused sort of expression. Spock doesn't enjoy being stared at. He especially doesn't like the way that this ensign mariner is looking at him, as if there's something inconceivable about the empty space to his right. Initiating, says Commander Chin Riley through the communicator. Boimler tells me he was a little bit weird about your relationship, says Ensign Mariner, slipping into the space next to him. She matches his pace down the corridor, wearing an apologetic look as she does. Sorry about that. He can be a little weird sometimes. Spock hesitates before he answers. I have often been accused of the same. Oh, says Ensign Mariner, glancing at him. Yeah, of course. I'm sure it is disorienting for you both to be here. Mariner lets out a long breath. Yeah, you could say that. Spock isn't supposed to ask about his future. He knows that. He knows why. He agrees with the reasons why, even. That doesn't stop him from feeling the temptation. Before he can say anything unwise, Mariner gives him another nervous glance. It's also weird, she says, seeing history you've read about, realizing it wasn't as straightforward as you thought. Spock frowns. Yes, he says. She could be referring to any number of things. The historical perception of Orions, for example. But the look she's giving him suggests something more personal. How was your day? Spock asks. Across the table, Christine gives him a wry smile. As good as could be expected, I guess, she says. She reaches out and hesitantly squeezes one of his hands. Then she lets go. I'm going to go get us some drinks. He watches her walk away. He knows they aren't known to be together in the future. He's not sure why he feels a strange sort of relief about the idea. It's not half terrible having you guys around, says Lieutenant Ortegas to the two ensigns as they wrap up the planning for Captain Pike's surprise party, even though Moradito over here was even weirder when he was on his own. I can imagine, says Ensign Mariner, ruffling her friend's hair. He's a big fan of you guys. He wrote a paper about this crew when he was in the academy, did you know? Mariner, squeaks Ensign Boimler. It was about the Enterprise. This is Pike's Enterprise. Is there a difference? Asks Lieutenant Ortegas half-jokingly. Ensigns Mariner and Boimler both for some reason glance at Spock. Then they both give identical nervous laughs. Nope, says Ensign Boimler. At the same time, Ensign Mariner says, Don't be ridiculous. Of course not. How about you? Asks Christine later. How are you holding up? I must confess, I'm not sure, says Spock. He frowns. The ensigns seem to know something else about my future. They seem concerned about sharing details, but the lengths they go to conceal it suggest... It's probably a big deal, huh? Spock hates the sad look on Christine's face, but he doesn't know what to tell her. I assume so. Maybe it has to do with... Christine hesitates. That big accomplishment that Boimler mentioned? Perhaps, says Spock. He knows he's wearing a doubtful expression. Maybe it is not of a personal nature at all. Just before it's time to activate the portal, Spock yields to his illogic, drawing Ensigns Mariner and Boimler to the side. I do not understand, he tells them. You have both been so cavalier about the events of the future, even about the knowledge that I will one day accomplish something quite significant. but there is still something you're hiding from everyone, from me specifically. Both of them are silent. Ensign Mariner makes a pained face like she doesn't know what to say. She nudges her friend. Spock, says Ensign Boimler slowly, it's not something bad, okay? It's really not something we want to fuck up. I have surmised that it is a person, says Spock. He clears his throat, hating himself for the emotional display. How is there? I cannot understand how someone else will be so significant that seeing me alone is startling to you, and yet you fail to recognize Christine as important to me. Ensign Mariner looks at him with something almost like pity. She says, Dude, at some point someone's gonna have to introduce you to the concept of compet. What she means, interrupts Ensign Boimler hastily, is that we really can't tell you. He puts a hand on his friend's shoulder, looking at Spock like he understands a little bit of the disorder that's roiling under Spock's breastbone. Sir, I can't imagine what it's like to be you. And I know it's not fair for us to come in and tell you to expect something without telling you what it is. Something so significant that it forever colors the way I will be remembered, Spock says. Someone. Ensign Boimler nods. Ensign Mariner says, Yeah, dude, in a voice that suggests it's obvious. Many, many years later, Spock gets a visit from the newly formed Department of Temporal Investigations. Admiral Kirk is not home today, he says, holding the front door open. Don't worry, says the agent on the left. We're not here to talk to him, for once. He leads them into the sitting room and serves tea. It transpires that they're here to discuss the visit by Ensigns Mariner and Boimler all those years ago. Did either of them reveal future events that you believe later influenced your actions? Says the other agent, data pad in hand. Spock takes a sip of his tea, letting his human-style wedding ring flash in the light. He chuckles and says, No. No? Asks the first agent. Are you sure? He hadn't been able to make sense of their caution in the moment, but in the years later, he'd had time to pick apart what he'd seen. Ensign Mariner's subtle signaling that he should reconsider his apparent attraction to Nurse Chapel, the way their hesitations seemed to be connected to a future captain of the Enterprise, both of them shocked to see him standing alone, and later the realization that he hadn't stood alone in years, giving him the courage to accept what was already living in his heart. Sir, says Spock, crooking one eyebrow, I am certain. The end.